How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish. Laugh out loud. Accept unconditionally. Navigate the negative and trust in your truth.
Welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. I'm Laura Cheadle, and today we are going to talk about a really interesting concept. We are going to talk about the concept of supporting other people. And supporting other people is one of those things that all of us would like to think that we're really, really good at. You know what I mean? We would all like to think that we are just so fantastic and so supportive and that we always know the right thing to say and, you know, just a whole bunch of good stuff like that. But the bottom line is many of us don't know what to say. And many of us, in fact, are not good at supporting other people. And the thing about supporting other people is, it's a hard concept because we have to figure out first what we would want and how we would want to be supported. And sometimes it's really crazy hard to know what it is that we want. And then we also have to release our ideas of what we would want and fully accept what it is that another person wants. Especially when that is different than what we want. And yeah, those are two ideas on like different sides of the same coin, and they're both important. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But first, when we're supporting somebody else, we have to recognize what it is that we would want in that situation. And that's kind of that empathetic piece. We have to recognize the emotion that somebody else is feeling if we ever hope to be able to support them. For instance, we have to be aware enough to recognize this person is in a state of grief, or this person is experiencing intense longing, or this person is sad, but maybe not in a complete state of grief, or this person is angry or happy, or whatever that emotion is, we have to be really clear at recognizing what that emotion is. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be an emotion. It could be pain. We could recognize that that person is in physical pain. Like if somebody's had a surgery, we might recognize, oh, they had their appendix out, they're experiencing a certain level of discomfort and pain in the abdominal area. But then we also have to move into the emotional area of that. Are they frustrated because they're experiencing pain? Are they frustrated because they can't do what they would normally do? There's all these different levels of support that, in order to be a good support person, we have to be cognizant of. So I'll tell you this little story about me right now. I have been suffering with, and I do say suffer, a broken foot for like 5 weeks now. Not a broken foot, a broken toe, that has actually turned into something way worse than we originally thought. We thought I had a broken toe. And the doctor said, just wait it out. In about 6 weeks, it's going to be fine. Well, it has not gotten fine. It has not gotten better. In fact, it's staying the same or getting worse. So I finally went back to the doctor, and it turns out, yes, I have a broken toe, but the bone split lengthwise, and that little pinky toe bone kind of has wedged in between the split in that next toe. So it has prevented it from healing correctly, It's dislocated and it's broken and it has started to heal a little bit, which really stinks because it started to heal wrong. So that's one of those situations. I've got the physical pain, but I'm also experiencing levels of frustration. Levels of frustration that it happened, levels of frustration that it's not getting better, levels of frustration that, great, now I have to have it rebroken, or I have to have surgery, and then I have to redo my healing. Like frustration that I was patient for 5 weeks and that I get nothing from that because it was 5 wasted weeks. Then there's levels of frustration that I can't teach my normal fitness classes because I love teaching my fitness classes. Levels of frustration that I can't work out. Levels of frustration that my body is not feeling strong and firm and in shape anymore because I can't work out. So that's just an example that there are layers of things that I'm dealing with. So when people support me, and people have been fantastic at supporting me, but when they support me, they can support me on a lot of different levels. The physical, the emotional. Here's another level. You can totally appreciate this, I think. With a broken toe, I can't wear shoes. I like wearing shoes. I can wear either sandals or pretty much one pair of tennis shoes that doesn't irritate them. So we were going to the theater last weekend, and I go to my closet and I pick out my cute little outfit, and then it dawns on me. I can't wear my cute little outfit because I have to wear sandals or tennis shoes. And neither of those choices are appropriate with the outfit that I had picked out. So then I have this entire like identity crash that I have to completely rethink what I'm going to wear and that I have to wear theaters or sandals in the snow. And it became hard on that level as well. So the reason for that whole long story is just to kind of show you when you are offering support to someone, when we are offering support to anybody, it's a universal thing. It really behooves us to think about the different layers of support that we could be offering or the different layers that somebody might want us to connect in at. So, if the physical pain is something that you really feel like you understand because you have experienced physical pain, you'll probably be really, really good at offering support to somebody with regards to physical pain because you have that cognitive understanding that, wow, I too have experienced physical pain and it sucks and you can't sleep. And then you take medicine, and then maybe the medicine makes your brain a little bit fuzzy, blah, 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 blah. So that is your level of understanding because you have experienced it too. And then you will be really good at offering support on that physical pain level. Conversely, if you're somebody that has not experienced a lot of physical pain, has maybe not taken prescription painkillers, you may not really understand that physical pain level. You can consciously understand the pain hurts, but you can't really relate to what that's like. So you might not be the best at offering support on physical pain if you yourself have not experienced it. And if that's the case, how, you may be asking yourself, can you then offer support? I'm glad you asked. When you don't truly understand what another person is going through, it is so perfectly acceptable to let them know that. For example, people can tell me, wow, Laura, I have never had a fractured, dislocated toe. I can imagine that must be really painful. And then I can relate my story to them, and then I can describe how painful it is, And then I feel better because I have shared my story with them. So even if you don't know what somebody else is going through, if you just acknowledge that and say, wow, I don't know what it is you're going through, but tell me. That is a great way of offering support because it allows them to bring you into their world. And when you allow somebody else to bring you into your world, into their world, they feel better. So, going back to my toe because it's such a great example, I'm also experiencing, like I said, the frustration of not being able to work out. If you're a person who loves to work out and who burns stress by doing physical things, you can so relate to me. And that's how we can relate. If you're one of those people that is looking for an excuse not to work out, and you start joking with me about how great it is, I'm not feeling comforted. I'm feeling irritated. I feel like you're trying to change my perception. I feel like you're invalidating me. I feel like you don't understand. Because you don't understand. And it's perfectly okay if you don't understand, and it's perfectly okay if we have a difference of opinion on this. The point is, that might not be your best place to offer support. Once again, you might be able to say, I totally cannot relate to that, Laura, but I know how much working out means to you, and I'm sorry about that. Bam, let it go. Drop it. One of the things that we all do, and trust me, I've caught myself doing this, and it's embarrassing, we shift to self. We shift to self so often, but especially when we're uncomfortable or when we don't know what to say, we shift to self. And that's usually not helpful. Because if I'm suffering, I really don't want to hear about the time that you suffered. Right now, I'm worried about my own pain, and right now, I truly don't care about your story because I'm too wrapped up in mine. And that's normal, and that's good. Now, if I've been so wrapped up in mine that it's ruining my life, and I've been in that place for months and months and months, or years or years or years, yes, sharing your own personal story can be a really good way of helping people break out and of helping them regain perspective and of helping them see that, you know what, other people have survived, other people have thrived, other people have experienced worse. That can be a valid tool later on down the road. But typically in the throes of pain, in the throes of suffering, it doesn't help to just launch into your story because it takes the focus off of that person and their journey and their healing and their pain, and it moves it back to you and you're not the injured party. And the point is, when you're offering support, the point is to be supportive, which is such a deep thought and such a simple thought, but something that we overlook so often. When we're offering support, be supportive. It's so simple, yet it's so difficult. When you're offering support, be supportive. It's fine and it's valid to let somebody know that you understand. Hey, I've lost my spouse too, I understand. And then let it be about them. Or, I have broken a bone too, I understand. Or, I have had a journey into alcoholism or drug abuse or, you know, domestic violence, whatever it is. You can let them know, I share your story. I share your pain. And then, bam, drop it and be about them. Now, they may choose to ask you about your journey, and that's totally fine. Or it may be the same thing that somebody says, you have? How did you get out of it? And then you can answer that specific question. But the worst thing in the world is to all of a sudden launch into an explanation because they truly don't want to hear your explanation in that moment unless they ask for it. And I know we all have our stories, and I know we all think that our advice is the best. And I know we all think that whatever we have to say is relevant. But I promise you, it's just not. And that may feel like a blow to the ego, but in the moment, it truly is about the other person. And if you want to offer support, your job is to be supportive. And in being supportive, you need to do what they want, which kind of leads me to that second piece. Remember at the very beginning, I said there were two sides of the same coin. Side one is knowing what you would want in that situation. And then side two is suspending what you would want in that situation and doing what they want. So that first side, recognizing what would I want? I might want someone to listen to. I might want someone to bring me food. I might want to sit with somebody who has experienced the same kind of trauma. I might want blah, 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 whatever it is. That's great. And then part two, it's kind of where the magic happens. Part two is being able to suspend that and say, this is what I might want. This is what I have to offer. Here's who I am. I've experienced that. I understand, or I don't understand. What is it that you want? Because we all want something different. And we all want something different in the moment. And there's nothing better than being able to tell somebody what you want and to have them do it. Again, using my foot because it's a fairly non-emotional example, I'm frustrated. Like I said, I'm in pain, but I'm frustrated mostly, and I'm frustrated for a lot of different reasons. When people offer me support, is it helpful to have them run to the store with me so I don't have to walk? Yes. It's helpful to know, here's the list of people who live in my neighborhood. Here's the list of people who are routinely out shopping. And here's the list of people who are willing to run errands for me. Perfect. Thank you. Now I know this is what I want, and now I know who to reach out to. It's also helpful to know, who are the stir-crazy people like me? Who are the people that love to work out? Who are the people that can relate to that? Those are the people that I want to talk to when I'm feeling stir crazy. That's what I want. I want different people at different times for different reasons. And that's where that meeting of the minds happen. I really don't want people to tell me their own stories. I really don't want people to tell me what it is that I want. I really don't want people to tell me it's great to take a break. I kind of want to vent about my frustration. I do kind of want people to tell me that it's okay and that I'll get back in shape. And it's nice to hear that other people have been there too. Yeah, Laura, I've had an injury too. Once my back went out and I had to spend 6 months in bed. Wow, that's bad. It worked out for me though. What can I do for you? Bam. Perfect way of offering support. Perfect. Now, along these same lines, because I've given kind of some general rules. Know what you want, suspend what you want, and listen to other people. But here's some more stuff on offering support, because it's hard to offer support. It just is. We're uncomfortable with it. When we are with people who need support, oftentimes it pulls us back into our own vulnerabilities. Or it pulls us back into our own weaknesses. Or it pulls us back into our own pain. And we don't like to be in a place of pain. And that's hard. But that's the grace that flows through the entire grief process. That's why being a support person can be so magical. I have not lost my spouse. I don't understand that pain. I understand that it's special. I understand that those challenges are different. Like, I lost my grandmother. She was in her 80s. It's different than losing a spouse who might be in their 40s. It's the same loss, but it's a different pain. And if I am with somebody who has lost their spouse, one of my friends just recently lost her spouse, that's why this is coming up, it brings back my own death memories of losing people that I love. But it also kind of brings up some fear. Like, holy cow, this could happen to me. Just because we're not in our 80s doesn't mean I couldn't be widowed right now. It brings up the fear. How would that be for my kids to lose their father? It brings up financial concerns. It brings up all of these things that are just uncomfortable and not super fun to think about. So if I were an unenlightened person, and I like to think that I'm enlightened, because of that fear, I might want to run screaming from my friend who lost her spouse. I might want nothing to do with that because, oh my gosh, it scares me so much because I'm thinking about how that would be for me, and that's scary, and I don't want to be scared, so I'm going to run away and I'm going to let you deal with your pain on your own. Bye-bye, call me when it's better. And we all do that. And that's not that awesome. Yes, we have to protect ourselves. I understand our own mental well-being. Sometimes it is too much for us to go there, and that's valid. But again, it would be better if we could truthfully acknowledge what was going on and then do what we needed to do to protect ourselves. For example, my husband lost his brother almost 10 years ago. His brother passed away from cancer in his 40s, leaving a wife and three little girls behind. It was incredibly painful. It was incredibly horrific. Right after that, my husband lost his foster mother. Right after that, we lost my uncle, all to cancer. Bam, bam, bam. In the middle of all that, I also lost a girlfriend to breast cancer. We went through a few years there where there was a lot of death and a lot of misery. In the middle of all of that, we also lost our yellow lab, who was like literally our firstborn child. We adored that dog. We doted on that dog. We spent 15 years with that dog. It was really hard when she died. The day she died, I knew it was going to happen. We didn't have her put to sleep. She crossed naturally, which was important to me. But the day that happened, she was having a bad day. Bad enough that I knew I couldn't get her to the vet. I knew I needed my husband to come home and to help me help her. I needed him there. So I'm calling. And I'm saying, she's about to go. This is awful. I need you here. And he's like, well, I got to work. I'll be there later. And I'm thinking, are you stinking kidding me? You're a total cold and callous jerk. And it made me really mad. And I got my kids from school. I had my mom get the kids from school and bring them home because I couldn't leave the dog. And then the boys and I crossed our dog over beautifully. We gave her an amazing death experience, even though it was really difficult on the boys to witness. It was also really beautiful because they could be there and they could put their hands on her and we could all breathe together and we could release her and she heard us and she went. And it was a very beautiful experience. And then after that, my husband came home and I'm mad. You know, why couldn't you have been there? What were you doing? And he was beautiful then. He picked up our dog. He, you know, carried her to the car. He wrapped her up. He took her to the vet so she could be cremated. He had this beautiful support and this amazing presence after she crossed. And I was confused, and I was, like I said, I was mad and I was upset and I didn't understand what all was going on. Well, after that, and it took a while after that, he told me, I've lost so many people in such a short period of time, I couldn't do it. I lost my brother. I lost my foster mom. We lost your uncle. We lost your friend. I couldn't do it anymore. That was my dog, and I was going to lose it if I had to be there with her. And it was like, oh, I totally understand that. And I have so much compassion for that. And I have so much understanding for that. It was just that in the moment, he couldn't verbalize that. And that's totally normal. In grief, we can't necessarily verbalize what's going on. But it is important when we're supporting people to, at some point, share what it is that's going on. Like he said, I could be there afterwards. As hard as it was, I could wrap her up and I could take her to the vet and I could do all that part, but I couldn't be there at the actual crossing over. And that was so important for me to hear and for me to understand, because then I could accept his support. He could support me in the way he needed to. I could accept his support for what he was able to offer, but then I was also able to offer my compassion and understanding and support him in the fact that he couldn't do it in that moment. Because we can't all do what we're called to do in that exact moment. We all have our limits. My goodness, we all have our limits, and we need to respect and honor our limits. But in that process of supporting one another, we also need to offer up what our limits are so people can support us as well. So I hope that kind of makes sense, that mutual, he gave what he could give, now I can give back where he needs it. And it's that beautiful, you know, the infinity symbol. I'm giving support, he's giving support. I'm receiving support, he's receiving support, because of the honesty. And that can be done in any kind of relationship and in any type of support situation. Whether you're supporting somebody who is like a caregiver, at home to an elderly parent or to a disabled child or to whatever, there are certain things you can do and there are certain things you can't do, and there are certain things that will trigger you. If you're watching, I've got a friend who is a nurse, a home healthcare nurse, and she works with a beautiful young man who I don't even know what all he's got, but he's in the wheelchair and he's got the vent, and he's a young man and he will never live on his own. His parent, he can never be alone because he will aspirate. And the burden that his parents have, coupled with that love and that understanding that they will do anything for their child, again, it's something I don't have a personal experience with. She doesn't. She doesn't either, but she's better at that kind of work and she loves that kind of work. And that's work that would make me not necessarily uncomfortable, but I wouldn't be comfortable with it. Like, that's something I can handle in the moment, but that's not my calling. That's not my life's work, but it works for her. So again, being able to communicate to other people where your comfort lies, where you can offer gifts and insight, and where you're not good at it, you're not comfortable at it. That's okay too, because that's you being honest and that's you taking care of yourself and saying, this work is not something I'm good at. This work is not something I'm comfortable with. I don't have a cognitive understanding of it, and I can't do it, but what can I do to support you? Because that family, that situation, there's other things I can do to support, but being there day in and day out, I'm not good at. When I was in college, It was my freshman year, and as most college students are, I was broke, and I was looking for work that would work around my schedule. So there was the student paper, and there were, you know, like babysitting jobs and working in food service and just all the different things. And one of the jobs that I saw was help a disabled man around the house. And it was like 2 hours in the afternoon working around your work schedule. And it was really good pay. And it was about 3 minutes from my dorm. So I thought, this could be great. I love helping people, and this could be fantastic. And it said like cooking, light household, and personal duties. And I thought, I'm great around the house. This could be perfect. So I called him up, and I went in for an interview. And sure enough, he wanted someone to come over a couple of hours a day and do some picking up, which I'm fine at, and maybe get a meal prepped for him for that evening, get a couple of meals prepped, you know, maybe, you know, just light activities around the house. And I thought, this is perfect. I can totally do that. I can work it around my schedule. I'm good at that. And then he said, I also need some personal care. I need someone to help me get in and out of the shower. And it was like, I'm not comfortable with that. It's something that I know other people can do, but I can't. And I said that to him, and he questioned me on that, and it made me really uncomfortable to be questioned on that, and I ended up not taking the job because of that, which is fine. And again, that's just showing, that's my boundary. I don't have to be comfortable with that. And you, in offering support, don't have to be comfortable in all things that people are requesting support in. But later that month, it was probably 2 or 3 weeks later, he called me out of the blue, kind of in a panic. And he had fallen out of his wheelchair, and he had hit his head, and he needed help getting things cleaned up. And I don't think he needed help getting to the doctors. He had gotten it cleaned up, but it was like he couldn't get stuff cleaned up around the house. And I did end up going over, and I was comfortable helping him clean up after his fall and after his injury. And I was okay, you know, doing that kind of a stuff. And it was nice because he reached out to me because he knew I was comfortable with that. And I was comfortable cleaning up the blood. And I was comfortable with his head wound. And it was a way that I could offer him support. And I could be there and I could do what I was comfortable doing, but I still didn't have to do what I was not comfortable with. So I hope you can kind of see the difference. There's different needs and there's different layers of needs that people have. And the key, the magic, is in figuring out what it is you are comfortable offering and then letting people know that so they know who to reach out to receive the kind of support that they need. And that is a beautiful thing because we're all not good at everything and there are things that make us uncomfortable and we don't have to do what we're uncomfortable doing. Oh my goodness, please don't do what you're uncomfortable doing. If you want to stretch yourself a little more, that's fine. But please do not violate your own boundaries doing something that you're not comfortable with. And please, by all means, be honest with what you're not comfortable with. Like my friend who just lost her husband, it's okay for me to say, this is bringing up too much fear in me, and it's making me not a good support person for you because I'm not focusing on you. I'm focusing on all of my own fears, and now my own fears are running wild in my head, and I'm not good for me, and I'm not good for you this way. That's helpful. That's hugely helpful because now she can call somebody else who can be good for her. And me sitting there being in a state of fear and panic is only increasing her fear and panic, and it's not helpful. So please, we all want to be good support people, please, 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 please communicate what it is that you're feeling. Communicate your limits. Let people know what you can do. Let people know what you can't do. And then we will all truly get the support that we need. I hope that feels good. I hope you feel nice and refreshed around that. Because we're going to take a quick little break before we go into the second half of the show. And during this quick little break, we're going to talk about me. And we're going to talk about some awesome services that I offer. And the reason that we're doing this midway through is because it gives you a nice little break, but also because it's spring. And spring is really a time of fresh starts. And I want you to take a few moments to think about your own fresh start. And it could be being a better helper. It could be getting in shape. It could be clearing out some emotional baggage. It could be stop smoking. It could be losing weight. It could be developing a plan for the rest of your life because your kids are graduating this May and things are changing. Think about what it is you need. And I want you to think about what it is that's holding you back. And that's what I do. I help people release blockages. I help people clear resistance. I help people figure out what they need to do to get to that next level. Whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. If you want to go to the next level, give me a call and let's do a discovery call, a free 30-minute discovery call about how I can help you get to that next level. And you know, in that free 30-minute discovery call, if I can't help you, that's fine. Maybe I can find some resources for you where you can be helped. But my challenge to you is to formulate your thoughts cohesively enough that we can have this free 30-minute discovery call. I don't want you to call me and say, I don't know what I want. I mean, that's fine if you want to, but I'd rather have you work through that, I don't know what I want, right now, like literally right now in your brain, and figure out, what do I want in my life? How do I want my body to be? How do I want my relationships to be? How do I want my job and my career to be? And then to think about, what is it that's holding me back? And if you don't know what's holding you back, we can work on that too. That's totally something that we can hit on in the call. And then once you get that, I can help you plan. I can be your mentor and take you to that next level. But first, you need to verbalize and think through what it is you want and what is your resistance, what is blocking you. And then from there, we can make magic happen. I have a wide variety of modalities that I use. And if you've been listening to the show at all, you know what some of those modalities are. Hypnotherapy, energy work, personal training. It doesn't matter what the modality is. I've got a lot of different tools. And if you're interested, we can make it work. So reach out, Laura, L-O-R-A, at PyramidFusion, P-Y-R-A-M-I-D-F-U-S-I-O-N, Laura at PyramidFusion.com. Visit my website, www.pyramidfusion.com. Visit the radio show Dream Vision 7's page. Go to Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Laura Plank Cheadle or Pyramid Fusion. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all of it. Find me. Find me on YouTube. Do Pyramid Fusion on YouTube. It's so amazing. It's actually, I don't know if it's Laura Cheadle or what it is, but find me on YouTube. I've got free fitness videos, yoga, meditation. I've got classes that can really help you figure out what it is that you're trying to change. Boot camp classes, yoga classes, hypnosis classes, eating classes, you name it. I've got a whole bunch of great stuff on YouTube. So be sure to go to my YouTube channel. And then reach out to me, 303-994-4945. You can text or call. And we can set up your free 30-minute discovery call where we can really help you hone in on what it is you want to change, what it is you want to bring about in your life this spring, this summer. Think about this. This time next year, by next spring, do you want to still kind of be tooting around doing the same thing, thinking someday I'll change? Or this time next spring, do you want to have some significant change under your belt? Because magic can happen in a year, and nothing can happen in a year. So if you are really ready to think about what it would be like to be next spring and to have nothing happen, blah, who wants to go there? If you're really ready to think about what it takes and what you want, now is kind of your chance. I have not offered free discovery calls before, and I might never offer them again. No, I'm sure I will offer them at some point. But the point is, right now, I'm offering them. So right now, start formulating some ideas. Let's talk about it. And let's see where you could be this time next year. Let's just see where you could be, because that's kind of exciting. Okay, enough about me and all of my super fun life choreographer things. Let's move back into supporting other people. Now, here is a concept. Here's like a tweetable truth bomb concept out there. Have you ever noticed that we do not support each other in this world? And what I mean by that is if somebody has a peanut allergy, we will be like, oh, don't eat the peanuts, or keep the peanuts away from, you know, that person. Or if somebody has an allergy to cats, or if somebody has an allergy to whatever it is, We're so supportive and we're okay with that. We never say, here, pet this dog and rub your eyes anyway. We're supportive because it's a fact. They have an allergy and we are forced to respect that, so to speak. So we do respect that. But have you ever noticed if it's a choice? So often we try to talk people out of making a good choice. Ha ha. That's weird, but we do it. Think about this. If somebody is trying to eat healthy, how often do we support them? And how often do we say, it's just one bite? We were talking about this today in terms of like snacks in the office place, and how often, you know, on Friday we bring donuts. And if somebody says, I'm trying to watch my weight, the common response is, you can just have half, or, but it's Friday, or, but it's my birthday. We try to talk people out of their good habits. Or if somebody's on a diet and they try to like eat a smaller portion, or if they're trying not to drink, how often do we say, well, just have one. We're going out. It's a special occasion. We are so bad at being supportive. And I just want you to notice that and to think about it. I feel like it's gotten better with alcohol. I feel like at this point in our culture, in our society, if people say, I'm not drinking, I'm the designated driver, people say, oh, okay, that's cool, I've got it. But if we say, I'm not drinking, people will say, why? As if it's any of their business. Or, can't you have just one? And that's a really strange thing if you think about it. I was just remembering a story from a friend's birthday party probably 10 years ago. And it was, I don't know if it was her 30th birthday party, if it was, what if there was a special occasion, if it was just her birthday. But somebody had gone out and gotten champagne. And I was helping pour the champagne so we could all toast our friend. And I'm pouring it, and then I'm handing the glasses to people. And as I'm pouring it, I handed a glass to a guy that I didn't know very well. And he said, "Oh no, I don't want one," or something like that. And I handed the glass to him again, and I said, "Come on, we're toasting." And he said, "No, I'm not going to drink that." And I said, "But it's just one. It's for the birthday girl." And he said, "No, I don't drink." And it didn't hit me how awful that really was and how invasive that really was until a couple months later, when I got to know him a little bit more and I learned that he was an alcoholic. And I felt horrible. I was pressuring him to do something that was against his best interest. And I didn't realize it. And the point is, it doesn't even matter if I didn't realize it. I was doing it. And that hit me so hard. And it made me really aware of how often that response happens in our culture. And it was weird because I truly didn't care if he drank or not. And I knew the birthday girl really didn't care if he drank or not. Yet for some reason, I felt compelled to continue to force that, to continue to pressure him. And I don't really know why. And I thought about that time and again after that. It was almost like he was refusing my gift. And I was saying, "No, really, take it." And he was saying, "No." And I'm saying, "No, really, take it." But again, it doesn't completely make cognitive sense. And I want you to think about the times in your own life when you've been with somebody who is trying to make a healthy choice, whether it's dieting or exercising or not drinking or being better to their spouse or being better to their kids, and how many times you have encouraged them in bad behavior. And oh boy, that's a deep one to think about. You know, how many times has somebody complained about their spouse or their kids, and then you say, "Yeah, but they deserved it." You know, like where a parent might say, "I was totally short with my kids. I totally lost my temper." And instead of supporting them and saying, "I understand, and you can do better next time," and "Are there any tools you need help with?" Instead of truly supporting them, we're like, "Yeah, but your kids were really kind of deserving. That was awful." And it's not necessarily helpful. Or when somebody complains about their spouse and they're saying, I've just had it. I'm over it." And instead of truly offering support, "I know, relationships are hard. Have you sat down and really talked from a heart space, not from your head space?" Most people just launch into the, you know, offensive. "Yeah, all men are jerks. I hate men." Or, "Pshh, women. Yeah, your spouse is being a jerk too. I couldn't have put up with that." We're so good at talking people in to doing bad. We're so good at saying, "Yeah, skip your workout. Come to the movie with me." It's hard to truly support somebody to do something that's in their best interest. And I'm not sure why that is. If it validates us in our own bad choices, perhaps. Or if it makes us feel superior because we have talked them into doing something bad. I don't really know. And I'm not certain that there's just one answer either. I think it's a combination of things. That sometimes we talk somebody into doing something bad because it does validate our own bad choices. That sometimes we talk somebody else into doing something bad because we enjoy the power trip. Bam, that's a big one. Do you enjoy the power trip of having somebody else follow your advice, whether it's good or bad? Think about that with diets. So many times somebody will say, "I'm on a low-carb diet." And instead of saying, "Awesome, I support you in that," we launch into our own things. Yeah, well, I've done Weight Watchers. If you tried Weight Watchers, you don't have to do low carb that way. Blah, 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 blah. And again, it's that shift to self. Like I was talking about in the beginning of the show, shifting to self is not helpful. Unless somebody asks, you don't really need to tell your story or offer your advice. If somebody says, I'm doing low carb, I'm not a huge fan of super low carb. I've got my own views on that. But if somebody says to me, I'm doing low carb, blah, 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 I try to say, great, how's that working? Or, so glad you are doing something for yourself. I try not to shift to self and talk to them about my personal belief about why that may not be the best of all ideas, blah, 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 blah. Be aware in your life. Be aware today. Use today as your little microcosm of life. Look around and see where you can truly support people. And see where you are truly asking others for support too. And see where you are shifting to self and you're taking the spotlight off of them and moving it back onto you. And for today only, just notice that and try to keep the spotlight on the person who needs support. Try and see what it feels like, both for yourself as well as for them. Because I do promise you this, when you truly have supported somebody else and you truly have inspired them to a better life, or when you have truly offered them peace and comfort, I guarantee the benefits to you will be huge. There is nothing more fulfilling, really, than watching people that you have nurtured and that you have comforted blossom into their best self or obtain relief, true, honest relief from their suffering. Ego is a weird thing. And yes, when we're talking somebody down and when we're making somebody be a worse version of themselves, there might be that ego stroke of power. Ha, 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 ha. I got them to do this. Ha, ha, ha. They're just like me. We're doing this together. Ha, 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 ha. But the true joy that you will get in your heart as well as in your ego comes from somebody being a better version of themselves and a more peaceful and happier version of themselves. And I do promise that. And the ultimate unselfishness on that is when you talk them into becoming a better version of themselves, you coach them, you guide them, you mentor them. But the ultimate thing is when you release them and when you allow them to grow bigger than you, or where you set them free and turn them over to somebody else who can help them in ways that you can't. And that's the ultimate thing. And that's, like I talked about that infinity sign, that's where that ultimate support really comes back to you. Because then they have grown beyond you, and then you can in turn look up to them. And that's what I really try to do, both in my relationships with friends as well as with clients. I can offer you everything, but then at some point I have to set you free because I know that you do know more than I do. Or I know you can grow somewhere outside of me, or I know you can receive better comfort from somebody else who is more qualified to receive it or more qualified to give it than I am. And then when you receive that real comfort, you grow as a person. And then perhaps you can offer something to me at a later date that will help me grow. Talking about my friend who lost her husband. If I'm in a state of fear, I can't comfort her. But if I set her free, and if I'm honest, and if I say, I can't give this to you, this is what I can give you, but I can't give you, then I set her free to find somebody who can, and then she is a better person. Then I'm a better person for it. She's a better person for it. Perhaps at some point in the future, she will give me that same honor of setting me free and not pretending to be my comforter when she cannot be. Perhaps when I lose my dog later down the road and I go to her for comfort, she can say, I just don't understand that. I'm not an animal person and I don't get that. But I get that it's painful for you. And I get that you need support, and perhaps you're better off somewhere else. This is what I can do for you. This is what I can't do for you. Because then we have that mutual honesty and we have that mutual trust between us, and we know where each other stands. Because knowledge is power. Oh my gosh, knowledge is power. And if I know what I can give, then I can give it to you. And if you tell me what you need, and I tell you what I can give, and it's not a match, there is no harm in that. There is only beauty in that. And the beauty is we were both honest enough, and we were both self-aware enough. And then when we come together in honesty. Because if I'm that person that can offer you that comfort, then I am. And if I'm not, I'm not. And that's okay. Because then I set you free to find the real person. So that is my challenge to you. I challenge you to be self-aware enough to know what you can offer others, to know what you cannot offer others, and to be honest in that. From there, you can really offer support. I also challenge you this week, again, look around. See where you are truly helping people become their best self, and see where, because it's the, you know, language of our world, where you're talking them out of making better choices. Because that's a weird thing, but we all do it. So those are my two challenges to you. Be self-aware and be honest. And then look around and see where you are making people better versions of themselves, or where you are helping them not become a better version of themselves. As usual, please continue the conversation with me on my Facebook page, Laura Plank Cheadle, at my website, pyramidfusion.com. You can email me, Laura, L-O-R-A, at pyramidfusion.com, or text or call 303-994-4945. In the meantime, go out there, be self-aware, comfort, love, and, as usual, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.